shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Today, the 1st of September, Ashley, you let August slip away.
I'm sorry. It's
totally,
but I was
totally
so,
on you.
I was
totally
so eager to get to National Italian Cheese Month.
Italian Cheese Month.
That we're in September and I will eat Italian cheese probably every day this month.
Wow.
Because Italian cheese is totally worth it.
Okay. Hey, good morning, everybody. Carl Linda Botland is on assignment this morning. House painters rolling back through again. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live all over the world at KCNR1460.com. Today, of course, the 1st of September, 7:06 in the morning, news brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Front lines of our COVID fight, which looks like we're finally starting to win. What's the weather look like?
Hot. We are told we're supposed to get down to 66 overnight, but we didn't. I don't think we got lower than like 83 this morning. Those north winds coming, and they're about 10 to 15 miles per hour, and they're keeping our overnight lows pretty warm. We are looking at the highest day of the foreseeable future today, with a high of 108. And then we'll go back down to 103, 102 for a little bit, but then by the weekend we're getting back up to 105. We are looking at hazy skies today with lots of smoke, so make sure you get those air purifiers moving and try to keep breathing as much as possible.
Okay.
It's going to be hard.
Hey, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 365-3793. And, Sue, you're still back there. You can hear me, right? Yes. You know, I love your news in the morning, sweetie.
Oh,
and I know. Was that, I'm sorry. Was that a term I shouldn't use? I'm not sure, given the NBA scores, is relevant anymore.
Well, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's just a thought.
I just figure I just throw them out there for those that are still paying any attention to the NBA.
Okay. Well, so. I'm just wondering, because I'm not sure. Are they playing now?
Yes.
Obviously, they've got scores, but I thought they were, going to sit out the rest of the season.
You know, so did I. And that's what I expected, but it looks like there were a couple of scores. So I thought, you know, for those that are still paying attention, that you know, I'd give them those scores. Otherwise, I know most of my friends don't. So they're done with the sports.
What would a 7'2" Croatian ever make? You know, because I used to live in Croatia. I mean, when would a 7'2" guy in Croatia ever make multi-million dollars for playing basketball?
Exactly. So
I love the Croatians. They don't pay their players, and they've got a good team. They don't pay their players anything like that.
Nope.
Okay, moving on. Hey, we are very happy to have with us Mark Mazzano, who is one of the candidates for city council. And Mark's got a I can't wait to find out why Mark wants to run. Frankly, because he's he's got had a very successful career. And so it's interesting. It's always interesting to find out why people want to run. So good morning, Mark.
Well, good morning, Carl. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate your time.
Well, tell people about Mark Mazzano.
Before we do, let me go back to the cheese thing. I'm Italian.
Yeah, I was going to get to that one.
And there's actually a cheese named Mazzano.
Really?
I've had it.
Is it tasty?
It's very tasty.
Is it one of those hard foot cheeses?
It is. And it comes... It comes from a town in Italy called Mazzano, Italy. I've never been there, but my ancestors are from that area. So just to acknowledge that.
Now, was this kind of like the Vito Corleone, that you came from a village and your real name is something else, and they just said Mazzano?
No, that's my name. It's spelled M-E-Z-Z, and it's everybody says it Mazzano, but if you were to talk to my grandparents, it was Mazzano.
Mizzano.
Mizzano. Makes it more Italian.
You know, I had a great time. I lived in Italy for... year and a half, maybe a little bit longer, when I was stationed with NATO. And I just loved it there. I lived down in, you know, AFSouth was down in Naples. And Naples, of course, is different than any place else in the world. It's different than central or northern Italy. So, but I had a, the people were just wonderful.
It's on my bucket list. I've been all over this country here in the United States, but I've not been across the ocean.
Oh, no, you need to do that. It's go back and find your city. You
know. Someday.
Someday.
Bigger things right now.
Right. So tell us about Mark.
Well, I'm 63 years old, and as you know, and a lot of people know, I spent the bulk of my career in public service. I was with the California Highway Patrol. I started in 1983. When I came out from Chicago. I've always had an interest in law enforcement, so I came out and went through the process, and on January 10th of that year, I became a Highway Patrol officer. And I spent the next 28 years on the front lines, out on the streets, protecting the people here in California, trying to make a difference. And that's really what it's all about.
Well, you remember, I think of one of the best police organizations, if not the best police organization in the world. I was honored to serve as the representative, you know, the North State representative on the for the Highway Patrol for their Citizens Committee.
Oh yeah, excellent yeah. work that's being done there.
Yeah, and I had I was always so pleased that the commissioner would always sit down with us and talk to us and take our ideas in when he was doing it.
I think that's the success that the Highway Patrol enjoys is from that. They're very transparent. They really hide nothing. And if that's the one thing I learned, you know, we can't solve all the problems in law enforcement, certainly not without the community's support. But when you look at commissioners like Joe Farrell, who was an instructor at the academy when I went through the academy.
What a great guy he is.
Oh, that's now, tremendous.
Is he the he transitioned while I was there and went to, I think he went to one of the universities.
UC Davis.
UC Davis in charge of security after they had that big people getting sprayed with pepper spray.
Right.
And all that. But he came in after that.
He was always available. Yeah. All the times I went
to
headquarters.
He was a great guy.
He was an excellent. And before him was Mike Brown. He was outstanding. Commissioner of the Highway Patrol comes down to my office in headquarters and sings happy birthday to me. What's that tell you about a guy?
Yeah, yeah. And the one they have now.
Warren Stanley.
Warren Stanley, thank you. Another stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who took over during a tough time.
And he's a big guy.
He is a big guy. But he is a very very articulate. He's a very feeling individual. And, you know, he came in when there's a lot of things going on with the Highway Patrol that probably makes the rank and file a little bit upset. Nothing he's done, but things that are being foisted on them by the legislature.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, in law enforcement, if you look at one of the basic things in law enforcement is you have rank and file. You have officers that are going to be career drivers of the black and white up and down our highways. So it was a great time in my career. And then I decided to promote, and I became a sergeant. And my first assignment was at headquarters in Sacramento, where I was in the public affairs unit. And we created the traffic safety programs that we brought out to the community to make them safer out on the highways. Things like Start Smart, the Red Asphalt program that most of the kids grew up with. So when you look at the department and your next level of rank and file is the supervisor, sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the number one mission of a sergeant in any law enforcement agency is to enforce the policies of that department. Now, I'll give you an example. The Highway Patrol has a pursuit policy. And when I was on the job, it was two units and a supervisor. Now, have I been in pursuits where there were more than that? Absolutely. City police join in. County sheriffs join in. And you go along and nothing happens, and you get the suspect stopped. You get them apprehended, and away they go. But yet there was a violation of policy there. And if the sergeant doesn't act on that, problems are going to happen down the road. Take that same scenario, and someone gets killed. All you have to do now is decide how many zeros you're going to put behind that first number on the check because you violated departmental policy.
Yeah.
So people like Warren Stanley ensure that we're promoting the right people that can take that role and that responsibility to enforce their policies. I've read the policies of the Reading Police Department, and Chief Shuler does just that. He's a little overwhelmed. I think he needs more people. And that's just another subject.
Okay. Well, hey, we're here with Mark Mazzano, who is the one of the candidates for Reading City Council. He's a former, he's a retired highway patrolman. He's been in, he's been through a number of different jobs as you get in the highway patrol, but part of it's crisis management, communication. And when we get back from this break, I want to talk to you about some of the plans you have on the different issues that we have facing us right now. So, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends down at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop has been in the business for a couple of decades. It's a better-known business. It gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments. They have 10 minutes between each of their appointments, so they can sanitize the chair, all of their instruments. You wear, disposable aprons when you're sitting there. I mean, you wear a mask, they wear a mask. You can't get any safer than this, and they give great haircuts. Plus the fact they're man's last stronghold. What can I say? Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Bathurst Avenue. We'll be right back with Mark Mazzano.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and over-regulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition, a chance to college, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit ShastaCollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
And this is my time.
Yeah, this is my town.
This is my town. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. The coffee has now kicked in, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You know, with all the fires going on out there, with health insurance going on, all the different things that are happening in the financial world, setting new records on the stock market this week, mostly helped by Apple. But is that part of the recovery coming back? Are people now, we're getting ready to go back to work? The restaurants are opening up. We're still, you know, Governor Newsom still got his thumb on us. But we are fighting it out up here in Shasta County, and we're winning with this COVID right now. And Maxwell Insurance and Financial are right here to help you, whether it's helping to make sure you keep your homeowner's insurance with all these fires going on, or health insurance. Maybe things have changed that way. Maybe you're looking for a change, and then in your financial investments. She has a whole division that's all they look at is investments and how to best serve their customers. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. You can call them at 221-0441 or just stop by at 1378 Hilltop Drive. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. I'm here with Mark Mazzano, who is running for Redding City Council. He's a retired California Highway Patrolman. He's been through, he's worked throughout the North State, plus other places, of course, in California, as you do as a highway patrolman. He moved up here, decided to make Redding their home about 2005, somewhere around in there.
Well, actually, it was 1999 when I moved.
1999, you moved up here. Okay. Married, got two kids. Now, Mark, the first part on your website, which is Mazzano and the number 4, Redding.com. MazzanoForRedding.com is homelessness. I'm out there. I go down to the post office every day to pick up our mail and to see Randy, the hot dog guy.
Sure.
That's one of my favorite places. And it's more and more in different people. And Randy's been there for a while. And I'm going to have him come on and talk about his time down there. But he said these are new people. These are jail people. Things have changed down there.
Well, I think what you're talking about is AB 109, the realignment that was voted in by the legislature years ago.
And I think also the governor was turning loose a whole bunch of people during August.
Right.
With the COVID.
Under AB 109, with the realignment, they were moving prisoners from state prison to the county and letting the county sheriff at the time house them and then be responsible for their parole and probation. And so there was a significant expense associated with that. But once you let them out after they finish, where do they go? You know, they're here in Redding, and that's where they tend to stay. And so, yeah, I've seen the numbers increase. But, you know, I don't think that we're doing enough for it. I know that it's been said that it's beyond our scope. No, it's not beyond our scope. That's our problem in our city, and we need to do more about it. You know, if I look around since I've decided to do this campaign. I'm looking across the United States. Redding is not the only city with a homeless problem. It's everywhere. There's over 500,000 people homeless in America. I think the official figures that from the point in time study that they do every year, usually in January. We didn't do it in January this year because of the pandemic that was on the horizon. But they found that here in Redding, officially, a little less than 900 homeless people. Now, there are people that will tell you there's probably closer to 3,000. Well, you have to talk to the people that are providing the services. When you go out and do a survey, it's tough to find everybody to survey, especially the homeless, because they're not all in one place. They're not all in front of the post office. There's some over by the library. There's some living down along the river, and there are issues associated with that. So you look at that, and you got to ask yourself, well, what more can we do? And there's no easy answer for this, and it's not going to be cheap to fix it. But I've looked at programs like the one in Salt Lake City, where they reduced their homeless population by 72% because they partnered with the Mormon Church, local government, federal government and through tax incentives for local business, they created housing for the homeless. And the one study that I read, they have a receptionist. You get an electronic key card, and that's how you get into the building. You're not allowed to bring anybody in with you. You're not allowed to run up and down the hallways naked. You can't hurt anybody. Those are the rules. And they've got over 2,000 people under roof.
Do they have rules about using drugs and all that kind of stuff?
That program doesn't.
That's a no bar type thing. They can still be on drugs and alcohol.
They make the services available to them. Drug and alcohol counseling, social services, medical services. They're all made available to them. And what they have found is that it's cheaper to do that than to continue what we've been doing for years, arresting them, putting them in jail for minor offenses, or dropping them off at the ER. Now, I met with the veterans officer here in Shasta in Redding over at the county building the other day. 3 years ago, I think she said there were about 300 homeless vets. I think they're the ones that are most at risk, by the way. The veterans suffer from traumatic brain injuries and PTSD. I think they're the most at risk amongst our homeless people. You've got two types. You've got the chronically unsheltered homeless and those that are living in places like the Mission. We've got 24 facilities in this town for the homeless. Dahl has a house with 12 beds, 12 veterans, and he's not full. So in talking to her with the 300 or so a couple of years ago, they still have 88 veterans that are still homeless that don't want help. So you can't help everybody, but we've got to do something for the ones that we've got. You look at other programs.
So how do you plan to do that? Are you advocating a no-bar type of housing program?
No, don't misunderstand me. If you commit a crime, you need to be held accountable. I didn't do 28 years in law enforcement to watch that go away. There are consequences for your actions. But I think if we can have a conversation, what I would like to see is to put together a task force, if you will. And on that task force, besides the civic leaders and obviously representation from law enforcement, I want to see some homeless people on that task force and find out what the needs are and how we can reach out to them. I learned about a program called Dignity on Wheels. It's a trailer hauled by a truck with a big water tank on it. It has two showers and a washer and dryer. And it rolls into a community, and it sets up in a church parking lot or a public lot somewhere. And it allows the homeless to come in and take a shower and do their laundry. And let's give them a little dignity. I've been there. I have had to arrest a homeless person. I can remember an incident in Ontario. I got a call of a dead body on the freeway. Well, I get there, and, of course, the fire department's there. It's not a dead guy. It's a 20-some-year-old young kid suffering from malnutrition. That day, I didn't have any money on me. I took him to a local donut shop. The owner was really receptive, gave him a couple of donuts and a cup of coffee. Never saw him again. Weeks later, pedestrian on the freeway. Highway Patrol does not like pedestrians on the freeway. It's dangerous. I give the guy a ride off the freeway. I said, you can't go up on the freeway. It's too dangerous. I had $20 in my pocket. I gave him 10. Don't come back on my freeway. That's what I told him. 2 hours later, he's on the freeway. Use that money to buy alcohol. So now I don't give him money. I'll buy him lunch. When I was with Simpson University at a golf tournament, we were coming back. We stopped at In-N-Out. There was a homeless guy out there asking for help. One of my girls on the team wanted to do something for him. I said, well, buy him some lunch. She bought him a burger and fries and a drink, took it out there, and he's like, what am I supposed to do with that? So, yeah, I don't give him money, but we work in other ways.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Hey, you know, I'm not saying that the jail time for homeless people works, but you'd mentioned, hey, they're finding out that it's more cost effective to do these programs because as opposed to putting them in jail. One of the problems is that we're just kind of putting our hands up altogether and not putting people in jail for much of anything, you know, much less the homeless situation. And you know, Carl's talked about this several times on the show before. There's different levels of homelessness. There's different levels of need with homelessness. And it really isn't that difficult to differentiate between, hey, who's homeless for this specific problem versus that specific problem? Who's homeless because, hey, you know, there's so many dang nonprofits out there that I could pretty much get a hot meal here, a shower here, and the weather here in Redding's great, so, you know, what's the incentive? So one of the things that I think needs to be considered when you're talking about dealing with the homeless problem is the fact of, hey, there is a such thing as learned helplessness, okay? And there is a such thing as too much of an incentive not to change the problem. So I'd like the candidate to speak a little bit on that, please.
Okay.
And I'll take my answer up here.
Okay. Thanks. Good points, Bob. Good points.
You know, Bob, I agree with you.
And I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you all wait till after the break to do that, and then Mark's going to address that, because those are good questions. They learn to use the system, and you pointed out yourself, there's some that, you know what, I don't want your help type thing. And so where do we go to from there? This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by a place that has been voted the best in the North State so many times is that they retired it and just gave it to them. And I'm, of course, talking about Orchard Nutrition. 100% certified organic produce, which means from the ground to the produce, to the picking it, to how it's handled after that, to delivery. Everything is organic there, plus a huge grocery selection, and they have people there that can tell you what are the best supplements. You know, what are you looking for? And they will guide you to the best supplements or vitamins for you. They have classes in their archives there, a huge selection of archived seminars on their website, so people can browse and watch a seminar based on their specific needs or concerns. All of this is at Orchard Nutrition. It's been here for 32 years. I'm sorry, it's been here since 1982. And Joe Martino and his group are just a super bunch of people down there, and they will have your health in their heart. Orchard Nutrition. We'll be right back with Mark Mazzano.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps. Now he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. 605-4567 is our phone number. Our guest is Mark Mazzano, who is running for Redding City Council, retired California Highway Patrolman, was a golf coach out at Simpson. And we were talking about homelessness here in town. And our last caller, Bob, said, you know, that we've got 20-something different agencies out there to help people that are homeless. Good News Rescue Mission has never been maxed out, ever, as you know, for places for people to go. In his opinion, that we've taught people how to be homeless, and then we support them with this. Your comments on this?
I think Bob is absolutely correct. In my discussions with homeless people, there's no responsibility, and they stand out there in the corner with a sign asking for a handout, and they get the handouts. And I remember meeting one guy years ago who was making a couple hundred dollars a day, and he wasn't really homeless.
Yeah, this is one of those guys that got back into his car and drove back to his house that night.
Got back in his Mercedes and drove back to his
house. So you know, I understand where you want to help people, but there is these, and there's people, as you pointed out, hey, I don't want your help. I enjoy the lifestyle I'm at right now. So when you're addressing homelessness, there's two different categories, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. There's the chronically homeless that have been homeless for over a year. They live unsheltered in places that weren't intended for human habitation. And then you've got those that are sheltered. And I think what we're looking at here, obviously the pandemic, this COVID-19, is going to impact that issue. Right now we've got the eviction issue that's supposed to be decided this week. It expired today, I believe, is the day that it expires, and they've got 4 days to come up with a solution. You're going to find people that have never been homeless that might find themselves out on the street if they get evicted, if we can't come to some sort of an arrangement. But there's no easy answer. There really isn't. All we can do is try to reduce it. And to do that, the agencies have to come together, and then certainly some of the homeless people. If you talk to the guy that's out there on the street over there by the McDonald's on Cypress at the exit to...
No.
He's always playing the drums. Nobody wants to talk to him. And it's hot out there. And I feel for that guy, and I want to give him something, but you don't know what to do for him. I'm not the expert there, but I want to consult the experts and come up with a workable solution.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about the COVID. Let's talk about COVID. We've shut down our city and our county. And, you know, we opened up the restaurants and we shut them down again because the governor said that. What's your personal opinion on this? Should we have shut down all those restaurants and churches? Why can we have protests and not churches?
You know, Carl, that's a question I've been asking a lot of people. You tell me why it is I can get on a plane and fly to New York City for 5 hours with a guy sitting or a woman sitting next to me that I don't know, but I can't go in a restaurant that's put up barriers, taken out every other booth. The servers are wearing masks, and I can't go in there. I got to sit outside in 110-degree heat to eat. That's ridiculous. That's my personal opinion on it. Do I respect the smarter people, the doctors that are telling us what we need to do? Social distance, 6 feet. Wearing of the mask, that's a very controversial issue for a lot of people. It's a minor inconvenience to me. I understand. I've talked to people about it. I went to the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday. And I talked to some of the people there. They're mad. And so what did we do? Well, our city council sent a letter to the governor. Our county supervisor sent a letter to the governor. Les Baugh goes and gets a haircut when it first starts out, puts that out there, and that's just throwing it in our face. But then he directs the head of the county board of supervisors and them to go down there and sit out in the hallway until the governor talks to him. My question is why didn't five council members and five board of supervisors get together, get in a van, go down there, and then talk to the governor or to the governor's doctor? We're different up here in the North State, and they don't understand that down in Sacramento. They're in a metropolitan area where they can't have social distancing. It's difficult. Up here, we're doing it, and our numbers are fine. It's a tragedy when someone dies from it. But the numbers that I've looked at, last year over 500 school-age kids died from the flu. This year, 90 have died from COVID-19. How come nobody's dying from the flu anymore? I don't get that. Everything is COVID. I'm told it's because there's money tied to it. If it's COVID, the government's going to give you money. I don't like that. And so when you look at that whole situation, there is an upside to it. The carbon footprint is being reduced because nobody's doing anything. The manufacturers aren't building cars. Manufacturing plants are shut down, so they're not polluting the air. But that's a terrible upside to have because of a pandemic that I believe is real. Don't get me wrong. I believe that it's real. But from what I'm seeing, the fix is fairly easy. I mean, you and I grew up with a sign in the front of the restaurant that said, no shoes, no shirt, no service. So now we got to put a mask on for a while. You can take it off when you eat. Some people don't like that. I can go either way on it, I guess. I wear it because I'm told to wear it and I want to get along. But I don't think it's infringing on my constitutional rights. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. Let's go to two things on the business side, and then we'll get into more of your ideas for business, is the Costco.
Okay.
Are you for the building of Costco?
Now, I live at the north end of Reading, off of Oasis, mm-hmm. and there was talk about putting a Costco up there. I was all for it. I think it's a great idea. I had a problem with the developers at the time that were going to put some high-density housing up there. Now, that's when I first got involved in this politics, is that the developer who built Gold Hills and another guy from Beverly Hills went in and asked the city, the council, to give back 63 acres that had been designated for open space parks and trails. We have an organization within the city of Reading, mm-hmm. Engineers, and they have a master plan for open space parks and trails. Well, the builder wanted 63 acres back, so I'm there going, well, wait a second. You have people that are living in apartments that need some sort of recreation when they're not working, and you want to take that away from them? What are they supposed to do when they're not working? And then the second question I asked the city was, who's going to pay for the law enforcement up there? I talked to Chief Modi at the time. He wanted $10 million to put 10 officers up there because they were going to put 1,000 apartments up there along with us. Well, we're going to pay for that through taxes is what they told me. Well, how can you get taxes? Costco wasn't there yet. Now, I really believe that for the betterment of this community, for the city of Reading, we have to set aside our personal agendas and do what's best for the city. The city is growing, and a bigger Costco is necessary. I shop at Costco. I think it's a great place to shop. So they didn't move it. They moved it down to Bonneville.
So you support that?
I absolutely support it.
Okay. Well, here comes the second one then. Right down the road from that, the Reading Rancheria wants to put their casino there on land that they own. What are your feelings on that? And the city, by the way, the city council, as you probably know, and the board of supervisors voted or sent a letter to the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, opposing it. Would you have signed on to that letter?
Yes. Not opposing it. I would have signed against it. And I'll tell you why. There's the classic example of people not willing to set aside their personal agenda. I think the Rancheria, since I've been here, has done a lot for this city. In the terms of millions of dollars. Weren't they responsible for the hook and ladder truck that the city now has? They paid for that. And in talking to some people, it was my understanding that if they proceed with that project, let's just talk about the construction jobs during the construction phase of it. Then let's talk about the 600-plus jobs that are going to take to run that establishment. Well, somebody said, well, you have to be an Indian to to work there.
No.
That's not true. I found out that it's not true. I made a phone call and found out that that's not true. And so if you look at it, they were here long before we were, and they'll be here a lot long after we're gone. But there's a small group of people down there that want to protect that rural way of life. Now, I support the rural way of life up here. That's why I moved up here. Okay? But it's going to grow. If we're learning one thing now, Carl, with this pandemic, is that telecommuting works. And you got your major organizations, corporations in the Bay Area that are telling their employees, go home and work from home with your computer and business. And they're learning that it works. So what does that do? That takes a person that lives in the Bay Area paying $3,000 a month to live in a shoebox. And now they can realize the dream of coming up here, which is why you and I came up here, to raise our children in this kind of environment. And then the other thing that's happening there is those companies are realizing that they don't need that big footprint in that Bay Area at $500 a square foot. So Stillwater Business Park, that's been around for years, has one tenant now.
Two?
Okay.
Yeah, Pace just started building.
You're right.
On that.
So we've got more room out there now. So we need to attract that business out here. And so for me, yes, I would be in favor of that project. I think it brings more culture to this area. They're doing a good job for the city. When I was on the patrol, I didn't have any problems down there at the rancheria. There's an occasional stolen vehicle found in their parking lot, but that didn't happen there. Their security people do an outstanding job. If you've been down there lately, they've got shuttles to take people around.
They got cameras everywhere.
And they got cameras everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? We've never been shy about saying how we support them to be the Red Rancheria there because, you know, frankly, it's their land. And you know, some of the reasons we heard to not have it there to me are specious. But we got to take a break. We're here with Mark Mazzano, who is running for city council. He's for business growth and expansion, and that if we're going to build to expand as a community and build our tax base, we really need to go out there and look for places or look for businesses that want to come up here to expand. We're going to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is locally owned, locally operated, started 10 years ago, in fact, about the same time we did. And it's the only place I will buy a firearm because of their customer service, because they have all the selections that have of firearms that I want to find or that I want to shoot. My brother-in-law is coming up, and he's looking for some firearms, and I can't think of a better place to send him to than Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, and right here in Reading. And you can give them a call at 222-8222. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Mark Mazzano.
That's a tough subject.
Just like every night has it dawned. Just like every cowboy seems to stand, say it's long. Every rose has its thorn.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studio is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and DeBott. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop in our chat room. You can listen to us. It's streaming everywhere. Our guest is Mark Mazzano, running for Reading City Council, and we're going to come back on something that's near and dear to a lot of our hearts, is unfunded liabilities. We rely on the state with CalPERS. Well, when the state makes a mistake, as they have in the past, they then turn to us and have us cover their mistakes. Our unfunded liabilities is in the, I guess, hundreds of millions. What's your thoughts on that? How do we take that one on?
Well, the whole process is built on the concept that the CalPERS is going to make 7% on their investments. And when that doesn't happen, you're absolutely right, it falls back on the cities. And the cities have to make up that shortfall, and they generally do it through raising of taxes. Now, I'm way at the bottom of the scale in my knowledge base on that. I've researched it. I can tell you that in my 28 years in law enforcement, I paid into my retirement every month. And the state paid some of it, too. I didn't pay into Social Security, so I wasn't eligible for it, because we don't have to. I can tell you also that I made a lot more money in the private sector than I would have in government service. I've had 5 knee surgeries as a result of my government service. So how do we fix it? Man, that's a hard question. You've got to fix it by reducing wages for your city employees. That's tough. That's tough if you want to keep good people. I mean, I was talking to somebody over at REU. They've got 6 unfilled positions in the area of...
their linemen.
Their linemen.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's 6 jobs you're talking about. I go, why can't you fill those? We don't pay enough.
PG&E pays more.
PG&E pays more.
Yep.
And so we suffer for that. And we've tried other things here in this town that just haven't flown. People don't want to raise the taxes. I'm not in favor of raising the taxes. But I look at the way we spend our money. And that, I think, is an area where we can maybe...
Okay. Can you give a couple examples of that?
Well, in talking to the fire department, okay, they budget all law enforcement agency and fire services budget for overtime. It's just a necessary evil. And I believe last year their budget was $1.7 million for overtime. His actual costs were $4 million. Now, I got a lot of that money back, okay, out-of-county calls and things like that. They get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
But still, my thought was if we could get the firemen on board, okay, one thing I know about today's young people is they value their time. For you and I, working a 10, 12, 14-hour day was no big deal. That's what we did. That's the way we were raised. And it's not a bad thing, but the young people, my son, one, says, you know, I want more time off. I want more time to spend with my family. I don't want to work all the time. So if you've got a $1.7 million in overtime, can't we take some of that money and maybe add a couple more positions to the fire service? I was just told just a week or so ago they had two incidents. They had two separate fires. Did you know Cal OSHA has a rule that if you have two firemen in the building, you have to have two more outside? Well, Redding can't do that if they don't have four people on a truck. L.A. County has four people on a truck. We don't even have three people on most of our trucks. So they have to pull from another station. Well, what does that mean? That means Cal Fire's got to cover our city now. We were unprotected during those two incidents a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday. I don't like that. I think we need to look at that. So you look at our spending. I have to look at more of the budget and see where they're spending it. I look at the fees that we charge when you're building here in this city. And I've talked to builders. I've talked to real estate agents in preparation for my campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And Redding is a tough city. The building process is very cumbersome. I think we could look at that. The fees that we charge, it's like $43,000 to build a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house, just in fees. So how are you going to create affordable housing if a builder has to put that up front? I look at that as a problem.
Well, they were having people a real problem about building multi-house or multi-family buildings, too. You know, we've got like 3 minutes left here. So, Mark, I want you to take this last 3 minutes and tell people that what you want to achieve if you're elected. Things, you know, your first, your priorities. If elected.
Well, obviously, my background in law enforcement makes me the most qualified person to be on our city council with today's time and what's going on in, across America with law enforcement and the unrest and the lack of disrespect for lack of respect for law enforcement. Somebody on the council that can work with Chief Shuler. I think he's doing a good job. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But we've got a 74-square-mile city with seven officers on any given shift. How many supervisors do we have out there? I've got to get a meeting with the chief and figure that out because I believe that the supervisor needs to be there. I think our officers are doing an excellent job here in this city. I think they've got a great relationship with the allied agencies. We need more of that. That's one of the things that I bring to it because I've worked on multi-agency task forces. The homeless issue is just a passion of mine. I think there's an answer out there. We've got to put the right people together, and we have to attack that problem. We've done that with other issues, and we've attacked the problem, and we've made them go away. The biggest thing I could say, though, is I want to be a full-time council member. I'm retired. I don't have a business to run. I don't have a practice to run. I'm retired, and I want to work. I want to be there for the people. I want to be their voice. You want to see me in the office from 8 to 5, that's where I'll be. If I want to play golf one day, I'll come in at 10 o'clock and stay till 7. I can't make those decisions by myself. I need my success in the highway patrol comes from listening to people. If you have a problem, Carl, bring me the problem, and I'll ask you for the solution. Now, I'm going to take that solution and see if we can't make it work. And if we can't, I want to come back to you and say, Carl, this won't work, and this is why. Let's put our heads together and come up with another idea and make it work. And I think if we do more of that, if we're more transparent with our city government and we make ourselves available to the citizens who know more than all of us. I mean, if you don't believe that the people have the power, not the people in power.
Hey, Mark, how do people get a hold of you? And, talk about your website. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but other ways of getting a hold of you to learn more.
I am on Facebook. I do have the website. It's Mazzano, my last name, the number 4, Redding.com. It just went live.
By the way, that's Mezzano.
Absolutely. Mezzano.
Maisano.
So they can get me through the website. They can obviously see what I'm doing on Facebook and the other social medias. And then if they want to get a hold of me, they can go through my campaign manager, or they can call me. And I'll do this. I'll put my number out there. It's 722-5920. 722-5920. That's my cell phone. And I'll take your call.
That's good. I'd like to be able to get a hold of people like that. Okay, we have to run. Mark, thanks a lot. Thanks for running here in town. You'll be back again, and we're going to have Simpson University right after the break.
My pleasure. Thank you, Carl.
President Trump preparing to head to Kenosha. Unrest erupted in the Wisconsin city after the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Mr. Trump says he wants to thank law enforcement for its role in restoring order. And while Democrats contend the presidential visit will stoke tensions, Mr. Trump envisions a different outcome.
It could increase love and respect for our country.
The president saying we have tremendous support in the state of Wisconsin, but apparently not the backing of the governor or Kenosha's mayor. Both of them urged Mr. Trump to cancel the visit. Joe Biden blames the president and his supporters for urban violence. Trump supporters counter it's the Democrats who refuse federal law enforcement help in the cities they run. They also say that members of Biden's own campaign staff have chipped in to get rioters out of jail. A deadly police shooting in South Los Angeles resulting in protests last night in L.A. And there was more rioting in Portland, Oregon, with calls for outspoken Trump critic Mayor Ted Wheeler to step down. How to defeat COVID-19, newly appointed presidential advisor Dr. Scott Atlas is chiming in.
In a roundtable in Florida, Atlas argued against testing.
That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is who is sick and how do we prevent the people who are highly vulnerable from getting sick.
Atlas also says schools should be reopened and college football should be played because the local communities depend on the games.
That's correspondent Tim McGuire, and it's another step toward normalcy in New Jersey, where restaurants will be allowed to resume indoor dining with certain limitations on Friday, just ahead of the long holiday weekend. Stocks in positive territory on Wall Street. The Dow is up 70 points, the S&P 500 index ahead 12, and the NASDAQ Composite Index trading 113 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I know that on those tablets Mr. Moses brought down is the commandment to not covet. But I'll confess, my neighbor and his lawnmower is making it tough. He's got this stand-behind, ride-along space shuttle that covers probably three times more space than my trusty old lawn boy. So, when we have who mows the fastest races, which are completely fabricated in my head, he has some impressive advantages that I just don't have. And at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed to have a pretty special advantage of our own, and one that could be a big deal for you. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park, Grand Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not a license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
More questions being raised about the legitimacy of the recent widely criticized presidential election in Belarus.
The Associated Press has interviewed election workers who say they saw ballot fraud or were pressured to falsify results in favor of President Alexander Lukashenko. Even before the election ended, a poll worker in Minsk said she was asked to sign a document summing up its result with the vote totals left blank. Another worker who pointed out violations during the vote counting was fired on the spot. Over the past few weeks, hundreds of thousands of people have protested what they say was a rigged outcome. I'm Charles Villadesma.
Indian and Chinese military commanders have been holding talks aimed at easing tensions along a contested border, each side accusing the other of fresh provocations, including allegations of soldiers crossing into each other's territory. News and analysis at townhall.com. The National Intelligence Director is catching flak from both sides of the aisle for his decision to scale back in-person briefings on election security.
Acting Intelligence Committee Chairman Senator Marco Rubio writes in a statement, intelligence agencies have a legal obligation to keep Congress informed of their activities. Ratcliffe says written communication will ensure that intelligence information is, in his words, not misunderstood nor politicized. Ratcliffe made the switch after select details from a number of in-person August briefings were leaked to the press, an apparent political ploy by some Democrats. Rubio reminding his colleagues, such actions are not only an abuse, but a serious federal crime. Bob Agner reporting.
More than 50 black former McDonald's franchise owners are suing the burger chain. They allege they were steered to less profitable restaurant locations and were not given the same support and opportunities offered to white franchisees. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, as she is on every Tuesday. But today, the house painters are coming. Eagle Eye Painting. I can't say enough about these guys. Eagle Eye Painting. Let me say it again. Eagle Eye Painting with Dan Scott. You know, they painted our house last year. And as you know, sometimes, you know, there's spots that need to be touched up. I gave Dan a call. Boom. Here comes this guy. So he's going to make sure everything is perfect as it was when they left. Good morning, everybody. 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Your health, your choice. It's Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Ashley running the place. And Ashley Okay, let's not get into this because we'll do this for 10 minutes. Weather.
Happy National No Rhyme, No Reason Day today.
Oh, that,
it's a day that celebrates words that don't have a rhyme.
Well, no rhyme, no reason means that there's just wild, do anything you want.
Yes, I know what that means, but the holiday itself is right. To celebrate days like silver, spirit, chimney, orange, month.
Aardvark.
I don't know. Bark, I suppose, would rhyme with aardvark.
Nah, it's got to be kind of like a whole
same
word.
Number of syllables.
Yeah, that, to me, that's what it means.
Okay, I guess we have a different definition.
Well, you know what? It really makes no difference because what's the weather like?
We are looking at our highest day today of the foreseeable future with a high of 108 degrees. We currently are around 84. We were supposed to get down to about 70 degrees overnight, and those north winds have kept us really warm overnight. So we've stayed pretty much at 84 for the past couple of hours. We are looking at a lot of smoke and haze for at least the next couple of days. So stay inside. Make sure your air filters, if you're getting your oil changed, make sure they knock out your air filter for your vehicle as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. Hey, the weather's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call, 365-3793. We're here with Dr. Norm Hall and a whole contingent of Simpson University people.
Right.
But we're starting off, of course, with Dr. Hall. And good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, it didn't seem like it's been a month.
Yeah, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
You know what? We just blew – you know what? When I – you were here at the beginning of August.
Right.
And here it is, the beginning of September.
Unbelievable.
Wow. But you've got Simpsons opening up.
Simpsons opening up. It feels a little bit like watching have you ever watched a pot to wait for it to boil?
And they say, you know, a watch pot never boils. You know,
eventually it does.
Eventually it does, but you're right. You know, you walk around the kitchen and you come back and you look at it, and then right. And there's that little bubble.
That's
know.
Right. And we've been preparing every day since March to get our students back. And, Carl, we just can't wait. We just can't wait. It's going to be great. On the 7th, we start classes. 4, 5, and 6, we're moving in. It's going to be fantastic.
Wow, the 7th. Okay, tell us what it's going to look like.
Well, I tell you what, of course, COVID is creating all kinds of new normal. As you mentioned earlier, we'll have a lot of infrared checkpoints throughout every day, throughout the semester. But when students first show up at the front gate, they'll have to produce a negative COVID test in the last 30 days. And then on the first day of class, we're going to test the whole population. We're bringing in an agency that will do the whole population. It won't cost them anything except their insurance. They have to show their insurance card. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be tracking. You know, everybody will have one of those bracelets like a concert. And if somebody, what we call a rubric, right? Kind mm-hmm. of a grid. If you have this symptom, this symptom, this symptom, then you, we call it shelter in place. So if you just don't feel well, you shelter in place because we're going the extra mile to be careful. All these schools that have opened and shut is because they weren't careful. So we have every intention of opening and staying the duration. And if a student gets a 4 score on the test, that would be like a temperature and a headache.
Right.
they'll see the doctor immediately. And if they have sufficient symptoms of COVID, they'll go home to where their parents are so that they can get best care at home and then come back after they're cleared by a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can't go home, they're from the East Coast or Zimbabwe, we have shelter, what do we call that, quarantine
like, yeah,
on
like
campus.
Like trailers and stuff like
right.
that. Right. Yeah.
And we, by the way, you didn't ask this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a great camping culture here in Reading.
Oh, yeah.
If there are folks that would like to share with us, within the last 10 years or so, a camper, they can claim that on their taxes as a gift in kind, equivalent to the value of a rented camper. So that can be a pretty good tax benefit. And they save money not having to put it in storage.
So what you're saying is if you've got a camper or a trailer that you're not really using that much, you can get one, you can write it off your taxes.
Right.
And you'll have it there on campus for, it could be the whole year.
Probably September to December is my guess.
And let's hope.
That's right. Well, I'm a glass half full guy like you, so I'm counting on that
vaccine.
Maybe you're not counting on the vaccine.
Well, when they say it's going to
be a whole other political conversation.
I've been taking vaccines. You know, I lived in the Marine Corps for a long time.
Right.
If there's a vaccine that they've found that they can stick into us, they've given it to us.
Right.
Looking at though was the fact that people are coming in. You've got a test from them already. You're testing them again. If somebody does show up symptoms, you're going to isolate them. And people, if you have a camper you're not using or a trailer you're not using, this might be a good idea to be able to loan it out with beginning a tax break for the rest of the year.
And I understand sometimes campers are like chainsaws. You don't loan them out, right?
Yeah, we'll
pledge to be very careful with them, and we'll make sure that we have a thorough industry standard disinfectant before they go back.
That's right. It'll come back in the same condition.
That's right. That's right.
Now, are the classes – University of Alabama, I think, was it Auburn or University of Alabama had like 1,000 cases
in
a week and a half.
Right.
We're not planning on that here.
Oh, no. And we don't have the density even of the high schools that are open. And they're doing, I really applaud the high schools. They're doing a great job in a tough situation. We have less density, mm-hmm. and we've had more time to put treatments in place, even signs, communications to students, expectations.
Hand-washing stations.
Hand-washing stations are everywhere. You can't, there was an old expression, you can't swing a cat without hitting a hand washing station.
Well, I tell you, we just got back from Reno. We had business there, but we did, go through the casinos because you can't work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible how, it's like that. You couldn't turn around without bumping into a hand sanitizer
station.
That's
right, right.
They sanitized everything. They took your temperature when you're walking in. And I see that happening right out there at Simpson Hall.
That's right. And if you drive by, you see we have a little guard shack, and we have a controlled entrance, and we have to maintain very careful knowledge of who comes and goes. And Carl, I hope you don't mind that I'm gonna compliment Ms. Randstrom again, who's leading the effort as our physician on the county health board. She and others, including Ms. is it Gee? She has done a Miss Gee has done a fantastic job giving us guidance and helping us write our reopening plan. So we're deeply thankful.
Dr. Ramsden has taken a whole lot of she's taken a whole lot of flack.
That's right.
I don't think it's all earned either.
It's a tough job.
It's a tough job. Now, we got to take a break here, but the one of the things too is you've got smaller classes. Right. Is this right?
We do. Much smaller than most schools, and then we're even doing social distancing through high flex learning. So all of our classrooms will be live online using Zoom and what we call OWL cameras in each room, 360-degree cameras. And so if the student's uncomfortable being in the room, they have a phobia of wearing a mask, what have you, we have flexibility so that they can be in the coffee shop and take class.
How about their dorm rooms?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. What happens, though, when you get into the dorm room and they're there with, you know, I'm wearing my catch me t-shirt on and all this, can I? Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Okay, we're here with Dr. Norm Hall, and they have been preparing for this
long time,
for 6 months.
And really. Here's the exciting news, Carl. Yeah. Even with all of this, we look to be opening 3 years in a row up. Right now, we're up by another 50 students in our deposits.
In your enrollments here. So, you know, in a time when things are tough and things are going down, and especially you're talking about Christian universities. And, you know, some of them even going out of business.
Yeah, there are many.
They're going out of business. Simpson is growing and expanding, and I can say that I can lay that at the feet of you.
Wow.
And your staff.
Good people. We have a great staff, faculty and staff.
You all are going out. You're actively looking for some good people to come to Simpson. You offer a quality education, and I think people are realizing this, and the word's getting around.
Well, and we offer, as you know, bass fishing. We're really leaning into the North State.
Yeah,
with our academic programs and our sports programs. Go ahead.
Well, no, we just have to take a break here.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. But this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Talking about another local institution that's out there to help people and that takes care of people, takes care of their customers. It's Cornerstone Community Bank. They were heroes during the Paycheck Protection Program process. They were not just for their customers, but for other people that needed help and assistance. They saved thousands of jobs in this area. Cornerstone Community Bank. Two locations right here in town at 1845 California Street and on Hartnell Avenue in the old Raley Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. And if you're down in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, Cornerstone Community Bank is moving local dreams forward. They never stopped, and they are continuing to do that. We'll be right back with Dr. Norm Hall and Simpson University.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
See, they're opening up the gate. There'll be actual real life people. It'll be totally strange. Wow, am I so ready for this change?
Going to school, yeah. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Good morning, everybody. 8:21 in the morning. And it's going to be going up to 106 today. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It changed. They moved it to 108.
108. It's like 82 right now or 83 already.
Mm. It didn't get cooler than that, as far as I can tell, this morning.
Yeah. Gosh. It's supposed to go down to 66 tonight, but don't hold your breath.
With those north winds, I doubt it.
Yeah. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, of course. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the best selection of jewelry in town. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. They're open. It's air conditioning. Come on in with your mask or... Maybe no mask. I'm not sure on that, but it doesn't stop you from buying what you really need. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. I'm here with Dr. Norm Hall, the president of Simpson University. They're opening up next week. In the first segment, he talked about all the things they were doing. They're COVID testing. They're restricting access on campus. They've got, in case somebody does come up with it, quarantine areas so that they take them out of the general population.
That's right.
Of the students and smaller classes. Classes online, cameras in the classrooms, all these things. So, I don't know what else you can do.
Well, we bought new computers for all the faculty and staff. We multiplied our Wi-Fi bandwidth times 10. So there's a few things we could do.
I know a place now to go over to, to get onto my computers I'm driving by.
That's right.
Okay. And your enrollment's going up.
It is.
At the same time.
It is.
And with go up, when you up enrollment, you can show positive things, like you said.
Absolutely.
You're looking at the North State, so you've got the bass fishing team.
That's right.
You've opened up new athletic departments or teams. And we're going to meet the new athletic director here, Tom Seitz.
That's right. Great guy.
In a few minutes. So, but you've also gotten a bunch of grants.
Absolutely.
Number of grants here.
And the most recent, $100,000 for lighting around campus, which anybody who runs a public entity knows how important lighting is, and $1.3 million more recently from a TRIO SSS grant, which allows us very much to lean in to students from first-gen families or just haven't had the opportunities to learn as others might. This $1.3 million will be poured into tutoring and support and engagement of students who might not otherwise get the attention that they will at Simpson University. So we are absolutely thrilled. Of course, you know that we received two $500,000 grants to start our digital media,
right,
computer information systems, and engineering programs as well. So we're working hard to bring grant money to the North State to take care of our young people so that they can get in the jobs and support the economy here in Reading and beyond.
Well, let's talk about economy. I need to bring this up every time you're on here, but mm-hmm. Simpson University is worth $50 million to the city of Reading. Is that right, or is it just a county, or is it more for the...
It's $100 million for the six counties in the North State and $52 million for Reading, according to CSI Solutions,
okay, who
comes in and does
$52
million.
$52 million. That you all, because of, one is just, taxes and all this, but also the buying from local vendors, what the students
buy gas.
Yeah, when you add it all up.
They go to the restaurants, they buy their clothes here, they go to the mall, maybe even a few buy a car here. You never know.
You never know.
But the thing is that they not only come here and buy here, many of them stay here. And it's my goal to continue to have those students with excellent education pour into our emerging tech fields and medicine. As you know, our nursing program is number 7 out of 140 in California. So I think we have 1,500 of our teachers still serving in the North State.
Well, you know what, and for people know this probably, but I already had my teaching degree, but I'd taken
right.
a 35-year break in it, and I came back and got my certificate, California certificate through
Simpson.
All right,
Simpson. Very good.
It was relatively easy to do. I mean, I had to show up for classes.
And, we might have to have you come and teach in our new digital media program. Give a guest lecture.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I could do that. It could be a guest lecture. But I got my degree, and then I taught here in Reading as a mm-hmm. substitute teacher. Which, by the way, my friends, they are looking for substitute teachers. They're looking for teachers, in fact, here. But substitute teachers, I mean, you can work every day.
Every day.
I think they're paying $125 a day for you to teach.
Not bad.
Well, they're looking for. Yeah, it's not bad, and they're looking for teachers, but. Simpson is well known for turning out just outstanding teachers, but also nurses. But now you've opened up the different fields, like engineering.
That's right.
You started the engineering field and the IT field, which was so important.
And we're looking, right now we're doing studies on a program in social work. And as you see what's happening around the country, and if you listen to the officers in the law are saying, hey, we need some help here. And social work are some of the folks that are going to come in, I hope, and take some of the load off some of our men in blue, women and men.
We need to have somebody assigned for each shift.
Right.
Maybe two people assigned each shift, and it could be funded by the Health and Human Services.
That's right.
And not out of the police funding to
right.
travel to be
right.
on there in case that when they run into places that.
Right.
Let them try to defuse everything because they're trained to do that.
Right.
Let them handle that as opposed to a policeman.
That's right. And, you can see the homeless population's growing, the civil unrest. We need more people in social work.
Yep.
So another thing, Carl, I would mention, we're looking at a degree in health science
mm-hmm.
and another one, a master's of nursing, which is something we've heard is desired locally. And then finally, before you kick me off the air.
What was the first one? Health science.
Health science.
Okay.
Right.
And what exactly is that?
Well, if you want to be in administration in a mm-hmm. hospital
right.
or manage health workers in a county, there's training for that. And people don't think about, look, how do I get into this mushrooming economy of health services? And they don't know. Well, the bachelor's in health science mm-hmm. Creates those inroads for administration and understanding government policies and managing a hospital or managing a medical clinic.
Okay.
These problems, with more people, there's going to be more need for health care.
Well, as people get older, too.
That's right.
More, and it could be in a variety of different,
right.
not just hospitals, but in care facilities and
right.
all these, too. Okay.
Right. All right. Now, before you kick me off the air, I want everybody to know we're renovating our first floor of the Owens Center. So there'll be a large student union there, and our coffee shop, the Bean Scene. We want to be serving the community here in a couple weeks. We'll have a reopening. I've had a lot of people in the community say, you've got this great coffee shop, but then you have nowhere to park. So we've changed the parking, Carl, so you can drive up, park right on the curb, go in and get your coffee, be among the students, and then head back out.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, by the way, before I kick you out of here, because I've got several others coming in here, let's got a phone call. David, good morning. Do you have a question for Dr. Hall?
Oh, yeah, morning. Yeah, I was kind of struck by, he said that $125 a day is a good wage. That actually is a pittance. I'm baby boom. And when I think of an honest minimum wage, you know, you're basically saying that a teacher should be getting twice minimum wage instead of five times or 15 times or something like that. And to do some comparison of baby boom numbers, back in 1968, it took you 20 hours to buy 1 ounce of gold at a minimum wage. It was $1.60 in February of 68, and an ounce of gold was $32. Today's ounce, I haven't looked at, but it was $19.50 a couple of days ago. So that would be basically a $98.50 minimum wage. And instead of taking you 20 hours at minimum wage to buy an ounce of gold, it's now taking you 270-something hours to buy an ounce of gold. So this is joke money when you're saying that $125 a day for a teacher.
No, this isn't regular teachers. This is substitute teachers. And you're right. You know, should they be paid more? Absolutely. But I'm just for substitute teachers. You know, they're getting paid $125 to show up, teach the class, and go home without all the parameters around that. So
well, you get what you pay for.
Well, that's true. But I like to think I did a good job. But I did it because I wanted to, and because I just gotten back. And was trying to, you know, ease myself back into civilian society from combat. And where else is a better place than a school? So.
And let me say to our caller too, Carl. I'm in favor always of paying our teachers more when we can. And that's one of our priorities at Simpson is to get healthy and to remunerate our faculty more. So I would agree with the caller. I'd like to see us treat our teachers better.
No,
it's an investment, too.
Right.
And the thing is that if you're getting federal money to back up your schools and you can pay your teachers better because you're getting that federal money, it's more likely that the teachers are going to spend that money locally so that that federal money sticks around.
Oh, yeah.
And when
That's
you starve fair. Those teachers, then they're taking, you know, they're the ones that have to go to the food bank instead of, you know, being able to be self-sufficient.
Nobody,
so it's an investment.
Yeah. Well, nobody's arguing about this. I think the idea that teachers are paid this much, and if you can hit the ball once every four or five times, you get paid millions, is absolutely wrong. Just do. So you're right. So we're agreeing with you.
Well, that's
so
good.
Thanks for
By
the phone
way,
call.
Yeah, protecting Social Security. I don't know if you know it. Today is the second day that Trump is sapping Social Security. He's allowing people to not pay into it. And the check is in the mail, and he's killing the post office. So,
well, I don't know about killing the post office. I think that
I think that
you can have every administration that can own up to that one. That they could have done a lot more for our post office. But thanks
Starting
for your phone call.
Okay,
thanks for your phone call, David. I love our callers.
No, oh, yeah,
I do.
Absolutely.
I love our callers. Hey, we got to take a break here. We're going to meet some more people that are working out there at Simpson University when we come back. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. You know, Sharon Clark's been doing this for over 16 years. She's got the premier home assistance agency, probably in California, but she's looking for amazing caregivers. She has picked up the slack during COVID. She needs more people. She wants people that want to help others, whether it's full-time or part-time. Learn more by giving them a call at 226-8350 or go to ReddingHomeHelpers.com. This is Home Helpers right here in Redding, and they just do a magnificent job. We'll be right back with Simpson University.
Nobody's heard about me. I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Take the census today. For every person that isn't counted, Shasta County could lose up to $1,000 per year for the next 10 years. We know we can do great things when we come together and that there is power in our numbers. Do your part. Check your mailbox or front door for your paper form. You can also take the census by phone at 844-330-2020 or online at my2020census.gov. By taking a few minutes to fill out the 9-question confidential survey, you can help shape the future of our communities.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Northern California's premier retirement community is right here in the middle of Redding at 301 Hartnell Avenue. Gourmet chefs, activity directors, they have it all. It's not an assisted living place. It's for active seniors. They've got transportation around town, or you can just drive yourself. It's a great place to maybe use as, you know, so you don't have to worry about toilet paper and cooking and all those other things that fall into your everyday lives, and they're very pet friendly there. To learn more about River Commons, give Brian a call at 238-5981. And I'm here again with Simpson University, but I'm with Roy Melendez, who's Executive Director of Advancement, and the new Athletic Director out at Simpson, Tom Seitz. So good morning.
Good morning, morning, Carl.
So Tom, tell us, you know, you're the new Athletic Director, and so how'd you get here?
Spent my life pretty much in college athletics, and originally from Florida. I had been athletic director at Jacksonville University in Florida and Palm Beach State College in Florida. But I had spent some time in California also, Southern California, as AD at Cal State San Marcos from 2009 to 2013.
Uh-huh.
And had an interest in combining my experience in college athletics with my faith, and had this opportunity presented to me, and one thing led to another, and here I am. So I'm glad to be here and looking forward to a great year.
Well, you've got a variety of teams that you've inherited, everything from bass fishing to an international basketball team.
We've got 18 with bass fishing, 19 sports actually at the school. We make up over 60% of the student population at Simpson. So athletics is a tremendous influence on the campus.
19 teams?
19 teams.
These are ones that compete with other colleges?
Other colleges, yes. Men's and women's cross-country track, swimming, soccer, basketball, as you mentioned, bass fishing,
yeah.
Wrestling, and looking at possibly even adding some more new sports for the next year. We're looking at competitive dance and cheer. We don't currently have, you know, cheer and that type of thing on campus, so that would be a great addition to our program. Looking at beach volleyball, which has become very popular across the country and especially in the NAIA, and even looking at something new, esports, which is something that is taking the country by storm.
Esports.
Esports, that's playing game competition on computers.
Can you get a scholarship for that?
At some places you can, yes, that's very much
so. You can identify these people because they have this huge thumb. Oh, no, that was the old days when you had to. Now it's your, you know, anyway. Wow. These are, so Simpson is really expanding. So you're expanding your sports. And when you expand your sports and the teams that have available young people who are that want to continue after high school in something they love, a way of expressing themselves, you're giving them that opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, kids want to continue to participate in the sport that they've played for their entire life, and giving them the opportunity to continue to participate, receive a great private education at a Christian faith-based school is really what Simpson has to offer to student athletes as they continue their careers in the college that they choose.
How's COVID impacted on you all as far as recruiting and the fall athletics?
Well, it's really taken an impact. All of the fall and winter sports have been postponed until springtime. So this fall will mainly be practicing and strength and conditioning training, maybe a few exhibitions if we're able to do that. And then hopefully things will be back to normal come springtime, and all the fall sports will be competing in the spring along with the spring sports. So it'll be a very hectic spring with both sports overlapping each other. So fall sports are pretty much delayed until spring. They will be working out and practicing. We will continue to recruit new students for the following year on an ongoing basis. They just won't have competitions to go and see those student athletes compete in the fall, but we'll continue to recruit them by phone and be in contact with them.
Isn't that kind of difficult?
Very much so. It is very difficult. But that's makes it even more important for the coaches to remain in contact with prospective student athletes, even though they're not competing.
Well, Roy, with the
yes.
the executive director of advancement, your job is to go out there and help financially.
Yes, sir.
And this has got to kind of like impacted on you.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Carl, for bringing that up.
Well, no, but I understand also you've just gotten a couple big grants.
Yeah,
so obviously you're doing something right.
Well, we're really blessed. Absolutely, that's the only way I can express that. Yes, it's been challenging with COVID. I came aboard Simpson March 3rd, and then March 15th, COVID hit. So all the things that you planned as a fundraiser.
Welcome aboard, Roy. Oh, by the way, we're having a pandemic.
Right.
In your honor.
Forget all that event stuff and forget about go visiting people. So we've made some pivots, is the word is used now, with respect to keeping engaged with our donors in any way. that we can. And now we're getting a little bit of leeway with visiting folks and sharing where we're at with Simpson. So what we're seeing, as you had mentioned, is, you know, our donors still come aboard, even though it's tough right now. We have a really strong base of support from our alums and from people who are what we call friends of the university. But it has been challenging, and again, it's really a blessing to see how people continue to come aboard and support the university.
Well, I think that we're going to come back. If I'm looking at the economy, if I'm looking at the stock market, if that's any indication, you know, they've set new records this week. Now that we're opening up our restaurants and everything,
yes.
You know, hopefully the governor will, you know, display some common sense and leave it as, you know, in the counties, in the county's hands.
Right.
You know, our numbers are low here. The things that Simpson is doing, trying to keep the students safe. Yes. Some people may not agree with it, but hey, you've got to give it your best shot.
Yep.
On how you can keep them safe. If we can keep our county open and just open up some more from 50% to 75%, you know, and all
these.
Yes. So what do you, okay, so we've got to take a break, but before that, 2021 is going to be the 100th anniversary.
That's right, Carl. 100 years. So we were initially going to start a kind of a pre-celebration here in the fall with the homecoming, but as we had just talked about, we got COVIDized, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking at launching a pre-centennial celebration in the spring, and then in the fall season of 2021 is where we're going to do our big gala. We're going to do the homecoming. We've rescheduled. We've got all the work done. It's just pushing it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll give an opportunity, as you just shared, for people to consider coming aboard and supporting us during the centennial, our business folks and our donors.
Well, you know, what Simpson offers a fine education. It's, you know, people go, oh, it's so expensive. It's not. We don't have time to talk about that, but we have talked about it in the past that you can actually go to Simpson for 4 years and walk out of there with no student loans.
Right.
And get a great education. And I urge people, if they think, oh, no, it's too expensive, call Simpson and talk to the experts, because they're going to show you how you can get there. And there's so many grants. And the Pell Grant and others that you can literally, and plus jobs, they'll find you guaranteed jobs during the summer. So
we have folks. I got someone working in my office.
I would like to have a team of them come out to a couple of guys or girls to come out and just do all the weeding and everything in my yard. You have people that do that.
You got big weeds?
I got small weeds. Anyway, okay. Hey, thanks. We're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center has consistently been rated in the highest levels by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services when it comes to heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, lack of surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip and knee replacements, constantly rate in the highest of the in our nation. So Shasta Regional Medical Center, it's your health, your choice. Why not take a look at Shasta Regional Medical Center? It's where Linda went when she was having a problem, and it's the only place I think about going to. We'll be right back.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor. Supervisor District 4.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is open for safe outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's going to be 106, it's going up to 108 today. Oh, how could I have been wrong? Widespread haze, get used to it. Tomorrow, we're going to have high near 103, so it's going to be a lot cooler tomorrow, so, you know, prepare for that. All the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Out of Anderson, California, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Mark Androsky, was that close?
Close enough, yes.
Close sir. Enough? Just lean into that. Talk to them. Don't talk to me.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, there you go. Dean of Students. Wow.
Yes, sir.
You seem kind of young to be a dean of students. You have, like, gray hair and a beard and all that kind of stuff.
My daughter's a student at Simpson, so I guess I'm just old enough.
Just old enough. So tell me about, Dr. Hall talked about how you're getting ready physically for this. But how do you prepare your students mentally for COVID?
Well, we communicate a lot. We've sent out a series of videos, and we're trying to keep our student body informed about our plans and a little bit about their expectations so that when they get here, it's not the first time they're running into the new normal. We have a lot of adjustments, a lot of new ways of doing a lot of what we had done before, everything from food service to chapel. And so we're sending out a series of videos. We're sending out emails, trying to use social media. Anything we can do to kind of give them a head start on preparation and mentally kind of getting ready for it. Yeah.
Well, they've been living with it for 6 months, but they've been seniors in high school in many cases. But you've got a lot of people returning. So what do you tell parents? You know, because there's a lot of, like, my granddaughter just started New Mexico State, and they're supposed to only have an hour to move her in. Well, my daughter ends up making that 3 hours to get her daughter in to start school this year for the very first time. What do you tell the parents?
Well, we tell them that we're lucky to be in Shasta County, that we have a lower risk, and our county's doing really well. And because of that, we have some freedoms that not a lot of other universities have when it comes to face-to-face instruction. Some of our restaurants and churches are
restaurants
opening up
are
a little
open.
Bit.
In fact, yep. Everybody, Country Kitchen opened today for in-house dining. So.
And that's exciting. And that's going to translate to our experience as well. So our food service will be able to expand out a little bit as the restaurants do. Our chapel service will be able to expand out a little bit, just like the churches are doing. Mm-hmm. So we would tell parents that we are fortunate to be in a place, but we also have to take that as a privilege, and we have to be vigilant, and we have to be aggressive with our approach and serious about the adjustments that we make. And so while we have some extra benefit for being in Shasta County, we have to be a little more serious and clear about enforcing our policies and being aggressive if someone is positive, that we get them either home where they can be cared for or into an isolation environment where that doesn't spread quickly. So we really have to protect the benefit that we have just by being a little bit more vigilant.
Now, students can take, if they want to, they can take their classes online.
Well, yes.
If they have some hesitation.
Yeah, so we have face-to-face instruction approved this year, and so that is our primary method of teaching, and we want that to be. We think there's a lot of benefit in in-person instruction.
Absolutely.
At the same time, the classes are going to be taught high flex, so while we will have a portion of students in person, a lower occupancy for each classroom, we also will have the students available to do it remote, and it'll be recorded, so if they have to catch it later, they will. Mm-hmm. So we have this really flexible, hence the term high flex, a really flexible method that will allow people, if they're sick and they can't make it in, or if they are traveling, this might even have benefits for our athletic teams that you've heard so much about. They can catch them on the road or even after the fact. So
19 teams, I had no idea you had that many. You know, if somebody had held a gun up against my head, I said, 10. You know,
Did the athletic director include bass fishing in there?
Oh, yeah. That's it. There's so many other things, you know, especially based around where we're at, Tom, you know, with the Northern California, things like maybe mountain biking, which is a big thing, because we've got super, super trails for that kind of stuff. They do competitions up here once a year they used to come through here with a big mountain biking competition. So that's, you know, something else that's out there.
A lot of opportunities and possibilities.
Oh, there are. I think they're limitless here. And we've got a university here that's expanding. It seems like every time I talk to Dr. Hall and all of you all, that you're expanding again. What's the toughest part about being the dean of students?
Wow. Well, probably all of the adjustments that have been necessary for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Things change at a rapid pace. We are doing our best to stay in touch with public health, with state guidance that didn't come out until late into August. Really difficult to plan well.
Thank you, Governor Newsom.
Yeah. The good news is, public health has been really helpful. We had a lot of guidance that was coming out for restaurants and other sectors that apply to us, like churches, libraries, things like that. So the really difficult thing this year is adjusting to the change. You know, as something simple as the testing protocol and whether or not repeat testing has benefit. You know, you need to consider that. And what does that do for your plan?
Questions on that about repeating, and then can you get it again?
Sure.
And or even if the tests are viable all the time. And now they're talking about a vaccine that's 50%, that works, 50% of the time, so what does that mean? So these are all questions you're going to have to be facing here in the next few months.
As a dean of students, I'm also working on the COVID task force, which is why I made this my focus.
Uh-huh.
And as we consider all the new information that comes out on a daily or weekly basis, we're really doing our best to adjust accordingly. And that's been the biggest challenge.
It must be tough because you sure as heck are hearing, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
It changes all the time. So you come up here with a plan, and then then something else rolls in. Now you've got to adjust that.
Yep.
So is that a continuous continuous? Is that high flex when it comes to handling COVID?
That's right. It's a new high flex a work environment, right? So I think that it really takes everyone in a community to rally together, to be a little bit more gracious and understanding, a little more patient. And I think that people understand. I think everyone is living this in the county that they're in. As they come to Shasta County, some of our students will have experienced even greater adjustments as they're living life, maybe in Sonoma or the Bay Area or someplace like that.
Yeah.
So, coming to Shasta County, for us, we're going to have to do this together. We're going to have to be considering other people when we make personal choices. Even if some of our students are from Shasta County and they don't feel like all of these adjustments are necessary, it's what we need to do to protect each other and to make sure that the benefit that we have of being in face-to-face and education can continue.
Are students wearing masks?
Yes, all the time. Yeah, inside and outside when distance is not possible is mm-hmm. our face mask policy
on
campus.
If they leave the classroom, they can take it off, and if there's mm-hmm. if they're not crowded and all this kind of stuff.
Outside is great. Anything you can do outside really minimizes the risk. If we do singing this semester, we'll be doing it in outdoor, worship services. We'll do our chapel, for example, is going to be done in a small group format to keep everybody in smaller mm-hmm. groups. So basically, making those type of adjustments is how we're moving forward.
This is tough. This is tough on everybody. It's tough on your athletic teams. You can't even, you can't compete. It's tough raising money because, the businesses are in just, in the doldrums right now. They're starting to come back, but we don't know how many we've lost over there in the endowments. And then you, as the dean of students, trying to keep all this under one roof, the college I went to, the biggest job for the dean of students when I was going to school was having me into his office every week.
I can believe that, Carl.
I said, "Oh yeah, well, I'm going to go in the Marines." He went, "Oh really? Can I take you down
right.
to the? Can I take you down and help you enlist?" Gosh, we've run out of time already. So, thanks so much for being with
Thank
us. And, of course, Roy Melendez, who's Executive Director of Advancement. Tom Seitz, our new Athletic Director, who's got a lot of experience he's bringing in to the job. And, of course, Mark Androsky, who is the Dean of Students, and all the challenges you all are facing. Tomorrow, Chief of Police will be with us talking about what's going on here with the COVID and, the fact that we have most of the jail is locked up with the people supposed to go to the state prison, but we can't get them there because they're refusing to take them. Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's going to be 108 today, and it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
My crown.